The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I'm removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, 'Here's your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another he said, "And you, how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 cores of wheat. He said to him, "Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended the dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you may be welcomed into eternal dwellings." Thus were the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today, St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, stresses that the most important decision we make in life is whether we're going to live according to the Holy Spirit or live according to the flesh. It's a choice with consequences not only for our happiness in this world, but forever. St. Paul says right before this passage that those who live according to the flesh are concerned with the things of the flesh. They place their faith, hope, and love and money in what money can buy. Their hearts are set on the things of this world, on earthly pleasures, on power, vanity, fame, and passing luxuries. In the letter to the Galatians, he lists the behaviors that flow from living according to the flesh: immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, rivalries, jealousy, outbursts of anger, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. And he stresses twice, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. They won't inherit the kingdom. Because as he writes to the Romans, those who live according to the flesh do not submit to the law of God and cannot please God, because in essence they're not even trying to please God. They're just trying to please themselves. St. Paul stresses, on the other hand, that Christ died and rose to fill us with his Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit truly dwells within us, then the Holy Spirit will help us to live a new, risen life just like Jesus, seeking the things that are above where he is seated at the right hand of the Father. That's why St. Paul tells us today, "Consequently, brothers, we're not debtors to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you didn't receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You received a spirit of adoption through which we cry out, 'Abba, Daddy.' The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Whatever Christ has inherited from the Father is ours, if only we suffer with Christ, so that we may be glorified with him." By Christ's resurrection and the sending of the Holy Spirit, God has made it possible for us to live truly as Christians, to live as beloved sons and daughters of God, to live according to the Holy Spirit, to seek the things that are of God, to seize this eternal inheritance in Christ of which God has made us heirs and heiresses. But in order to do this, we need, as he tells us today, to put to death the deeds of the body. We need to mortify the temptation to live according to the flesh, according to this world, to live as everybody else is living, so that we can live according to God's holy help and inspiration. Today in the Gospel, Jesus makes the same point, stressing that we, in a brutal, cutthroat, bottom-line way, have to make the choice to stop living according to the flesh and to begin living fully for the things of God. He does so by means of what for many Catholics is the most confusing parable Jesus ever gave. What's popularly called the parable of the dishonest steward. Something that it can get some of us to wonder whether Jesus is praising a crooked business manager for wily deception. Whether he who gave us the commandment, "Thou shalt not steal," is himself praising someone for violating it. Jesus is doing no such thing. We have to understand something about the way loans were done in the ancient world, however, in order to grasp what Jesus was and wasn't saying, and the crucial lesson he's giving for us today. In the parable, a manager is about to get sacked because he was squandering the property of his business owner. His boss gave him his pink slip and told him to do an audit of the books prior to his dismissal. So the man called in those mostly tenant farmers who owed his employer money or things and considerably reduced their debts. At first glance, this seems like dishonesty, like he was stealing from his boss. But it's not. In the ancient world, the way loans were conducted was that the manager or the broker would be paid by adding something on to what was owed his boss. He'd receive what we'd today call a commission, but a commission wouldn't be a percentage of what was given to the master so that the master would get less than what he had loaned, and the 6% or the 10% would go to the broker. But the master would get everything that the master had given, and then the broker could add on whatever he thought he could get out of the one borrowing. So if he loaned 50 cores of wheat, the master would be owed 50 cores of wheat, but he could charge 80 cores from the one borrowing. So when he starts to call in those who had owed his master lots of property, and he started to slash what was owed, what he was essentially doing was cutting out most or all of his commission. He wasn't stealing from his boss here. What he was doing was saying, "I don't need these commissions as much as I need to save my life after I lose my job." And that's what Jesus was praising. The dishonest steward was probably tacking on way too big of a commission. And in order to maximize his profits, was probably like Fannie or Freddie in our own day, lending out the master's property to very bad risks, allowing people in the master's fields who were going to waste rather than produce from them. Hence the manager called in those who owed him and almost assuredly cut out his own take. Faced with the decision of saving his life by making friends who would take care of him after he was fired, or trying to hold on to the end of the possibility of making as much money as he could via these commissions, he chose wisely to save his life. His master, and Jesus through the master in the parable, calls this prudent and wise. What's the application to us? Jesus wants us to examine whether we are in the place of that dishonest steward. God has given each of us tremendous gifts on the basis of which we've made profits, or at least tried to make a profit. He's given us our hands, which we use to work. He's given us our brains, which we use to think. He's given us our family and friends, our education, our lives, and so many other blessings. With these gifts, we have profited and made a manifold commission. But have we been using those gifts fundamentally to build up our kingdom or to build up the master's? Have we used them to live according to the flesh or according to the Holy Spirit? If we've been living selfishly according to the flesh until now, if we've been squandering these gifts on seeking the things of this world and owning them, Jesus gives us this parable in order to help us to see that our time is coming to an end. and that we have to prepare an accounting. He wants us, like the steward in the gospel, to start sacrificing our commissions, our possessions, our time for others, so that we may be taken care of in return, so that they may remember us, and then be our supporters and welcome us into, as Jesus says, eternal homes. The implication Jesus has given us today is if we don't want to do the right thing simply because it is the right thing, if we don't want to love others simply because we're Christian and we love like Christ loves, then at least we should be doing it because it's in our eternal best interest. Either we care for the poor and the needy, as Philadelphia Archbishop Charles Chaput is accustomed to say, or we go to hell. I'm going to say it again. Either we care for the poor and the needy, or we go to hell. And Jesus is trying to help us to focus today. Like the steward in the parable, we're faced with the choice of trying to keep our profits in our own hands and wallets and pocketbooks. We're trying to save our lives. We cannot take money or possessions with us as we go. The only thing that fits through the eye of the needle are acts of love. All earthly mammon will eventually turn out to prove to be nothing more than monopoly money. Jesus wants us to remember that the poor and the needy are our eternal money changers, who take that monopoly money, who take all our earthly currency and turn it into something that moths can't eat, rust can't corrode, or the IRS can't confiscate in inheritance taxes. Jesus wants us to be as wise in this world as greedy businessmen are in the material realm. If we use whatever God has given us here to take care of others, at our judgment and after it, the poor will be among those in heaven who will welcome us to God's eternal home. Jesus will turn to us and say, as he promised to say, that whatever you did for the least of my brothers and sisters, you did for me. Jesus says at the end of today's passage that the children of this age are shrewder in dealing with their own generation than the children of light. What he was saying is that people who are worldly are often much more prudent than believers when it comes to making choices that concern their survival. Business owners, for example, if they know that a certain practice is hemorrhaging their bottom line, try to fix it right away. If they can't, they eliminate it. They know that in order to survive, they've got to cut their losses. Otherwise, they'll end up in chapter 11. Christians, however, when we know that something is losing us God's grace, seldom act in such a decisive and intelligent way. Even though a serious sin might be sending us into eternal bankruptcy, we negotiate with it rather than get rid of it. Jesus instructs us to act with bottom line brutality in the Sermon on the Mount. But few of us follow his advice. If your right eye is causing you to sin, he says, tear it out and toss it. Better for you to lose one of your eyes than with your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand is causing you to sin, chop it off and throw it away. Better for you to lose one of your members than with your whole body to go into Gehenna. The failure to cut out sinful behavior from our lives, including sins of omission, is for Jesus simply stupid. Sinning in such a way is cooperating with the devil. And that would be like a businessman's employing someone who he knows well will steal from him and try to destroy all he's ever earned. In this story, Jesus is essentially telling us to use our heads, to be smart about our salvation. Jesus' words are like a top notch of McKinsey business consultants who come in to analyze a failing business, find out where the inefficiencies are, and design a business plan not only to save the company but make it thrive. But the key is not merely in the info, in knowing what needs to be done, but in having the wisdom, the courage, and the resolve to implement that plan. That's what Jesus proposes to us today, with urgency. Unlike in the parable, when we meet Him face to face, we'll have no time to return to fix things. We have to fix them now. If we've been selfish with our gifts, if we haven't been putting God first, then now is the time to use our heads to do so. If we've been trying to compromise with a sin, with something that's obviously wrong, but which we've been trying to deny, the time is now to change. Now is the occasion for us to be as shrewd as storing up for ourselves heavenly wealth as Warren Buffett is to increase his fortune here on earth. We cannot serve both God and mammon. We cannot worship both God and the golden calf. We cannot be faithful Christians and materialistic consumers. We cannot be sons and daughters of the Eternal Father and seek the inheritance offered by the prince of this world. Just as the steward in the parable couldn't try to keep all his commissions and win the favor of those who owed him, so we must choose between storing up treasure in this world or using everything we have in this world to store up treasure in the next. This is the choice that the rich young man was presented with by Jesus and sadly refused to take. Today, Jesus, out of love, offers us the same deal, urging us to seize it today and obtain today and forever the pearl of great price. The Lord, who calls us to live by the Spirit as true children of God, is prepared to give us all the help He knows we need to do so. He's about to feed us with Himself, the greatest treasure in the world, and to send the same Holy Spirit who will soon convert bread and wine into His body and blood to renew us in our divine filiation so that we might truly call out with Him, Abba, Father, and live in accordance with that dignity. Today, as we prepare to receive Him, we ask Him to grant us that help He knows we need to live as wise children of the light, to imitate His own way of life, so that when it comes time for us to render an account of all the blessings in our life He's given us, He may praise us for acting shrewdly, and together with all those we've helped through sharing God's generosity as good and faithful servants, we may be welcomed by Him into His eternal home. That's what it's all about. Jesus is in disguise right outside that door today, in the face of a poor man. Enrich him, and you'll be enriching yourselves all the more. Praise be Jesus Christ.